Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is Brother Africa. We'd like to welcome you again to another episode of Africa on the Move. Recently, I've had a chance to travel throughout the Southeast area, and through my travel, I found out there's a common theme that seems to be dominating the minds and the interests of African people as it relates to their conditions inside America. And those particular conditions deal around what I call the triangle oppression. That is, it's this issue of looking at the impact of enslavement of our people, for enslavement of our people, to unemployment of our people, to the incarceration of our people. Those three tools of the capitalist system that have imposed these forms of oppression against our people do seem to be the most prevalent problems that are facing our people. And there's an ongoing discussion on which way forward. How do we break the cycle of oppression using, given the tools that they are using against us under the form of enslavement, the question of unemployment, the issue of incarceration? Many of us believe that this question of incarceration is more geared towards the African male. But quietly as a camp, I think if you look at some of the new statistics, you'll find out that many more African women have been incarcerated. So this whole question of incarceration is not a gender thing. It's a thing that walks across both sectors of the African community. What we'd like to do tonight is have a dialogue with you in terms of maybe see if we can come up with some kind of concept of unity of thought so we can have this question of use the action together. How do we break the cycle of enslavement, the cycle of unemployment, the cycle of incarceration, the tools that have been imposed upon us under this capitalist system. And discuss the theme with us tonight, and we'd like to have the audience call in a few minutes, is Brother Haki. Brother Haki, welcome to Africa on the Move.
Thank you, Brother Africa. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'd like for you first, Brother Haki, if you can just give us a brief synopsis of the background of who you are. I know you are a community organizer. Say a few things about yourself, and I'd like for you to give us your analysis on this triple cycle of oppression as it relates to our people.
Yeah, I've been a community organizer for over 30 years now. My primary focus has been on organizing the African community in the face of this onslaught that you define as capitalism. The thing is that one of the important to understand, it has to be some historical perspective in terms of understanding the dilemma we find ourselves confronted with. One of the biggest misnomers is that, in fact, that democracy exists. In fact, if you go back historically and look at it, democracy hasn't existed in America for a long, long time. From the time the early colonists realized that they had a monopoly on power, this question of democracy was never been a reality. It's been more a concept, something that has been kicked around in terms of the sole purpose of deceiving people into believing that, in fact, that you do have some rights. In fact, we all understand that in the capitalist society, without economics, you have no real rights. And so this is a fundamental problem that African people in society are confronted with. One of the things also that's still very important to note is that as this economy deteriorates, and it's been deteriorating since the late 60s, the thing is, those who have that 1% of the population have increasingly been enjoying more and more the fruits of the labor of the country, whereas the bottom 90% of people have. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you still on?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, whereas the bottom 90% of people have disproportionately been falling backwards in terms of their earnings as related to the GDP. So the thing is, the question is that why is this happening? Is it something that's a fluke or something that is structural? In fact, it's something that is structural. No matter, despite what Barack Obama might say in terms of, you know, trying to, espouse a need for, minimum wage to increase to $9 an hour, the bottom line is that in context of capitalist system, you understand that the bottom line is about profit. It's not even about productivity. Productivity is only important to the extent that it can squeeze more and more money out of fewer and fewer workers, and that's important in terms of productivity. But the bottom line is that capitalism is doing specifically what it's supposed to do, that is to make as much money as possible. And the thing that's very dangerous for the African community, and we have to understand this very, very precisely, is that this domestic market, as it relates to people's ability to buy goods and services, it's no longer a real pressing issue for the capitalist class, because now you have markets worldwide which you can tap into to keep your profits high. And so, therefore, the domestic economy in the United States is not really important. And as that relates to African people, and that's particularly important, that I often hear people talk about, well, if only one day just starting to get a job. Well, the reality is that in the capitalist context, you know, there's never been such a thing as full employment. In the 68, when Humphrey Hawkins espoused full employment, it was defeated by the Congress. The question is, why was it defeated? It was defeated because capitalist system is not designed to fully employ people. So irrespective of people's desire or want to have a job, it just doesn't work this way. So the issue of the issue for our people, for African people, is first and foremost is to reawaken the consciousness to understand precisely the conditions that we find ourselves confronted with, create institutions to guide our youth in terms of understanding the system, and then ultimately to educate yourself and to move forward and to think about other avenues outside of the United States in terms of being able to do the kind of things you need in terms of, you know, for your longevity. So those are the things I think we have to really concentrate on and not be deceived by this notion in terms of that, in fact, this is democracy and the fact that, or that fact that, you know, employment is as simple as, you know, filling an application.
Okay, we also have another guest with us tonight. We're going to bring him in now. We have Brother Bamboshi Shango. He's an organizer for the All African People's Representative Party, the GC. Brother Shango, welcome to Africa on the Move.
Thank you, bro. How are you this evening?
We're doing all right. We're trying to give the people a little bit of political education because we think it's critical, given this historical moment that we're dealing with as relates to the various forms of oppression that our people are facing. You know, the theme tonight is we're dealing with this question of historical enslavement, this whole question of unemployment to incarceration. As a political organizer, what does your party say in terms of how do we move forward and break this circle cycle as relates to these forms of oppression of our people, Brother Bamboshi?
It's always difficult to follow Brother Akeem because he just gives so much information and so short a time that people need time to digest it and gain a thorough understanding of it. But let me give it a try. I would say on our part, for the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, our primary concern is twofold. One, raising the level of political consciousness of the masses of our people so that they begin to become clearer in understanding what's going on around them and what's happening to them. And secondly, developing strong organizations so that once they understand what's happening, they begin to implement what needs to be done to change their conditions and their situations throughout the United States and the world.
Okay. With our audience, we'd like to tell them just stay patient. I see we have our board sorted it up. In the next couple of minutes, we'll start taking our callers, and we'd like for y'all to give your feedback to the discussion. And when we open up the lines, we'll introduce you by your last four numbers. If you can identify yourself by your first name, and just tell us where y'all calling from. But we'll be taking calls in a few more minutes, okay? So hold on, callers. We thank you for your patience. Brother Hakeem, in terms of looking at this three-headed form of oppression that our people are dealing with, as we look at the role of our political representatives, have they been giving the necessary tools to adequately address these problems as it relates to our people, understanding that historically these issues has always been with us since we first arrived in the United States? How would you critique the response of our political leadership as relates to this particular dilemma that we're speaking to tonight?
Well, I think the political leadership does precisely what it's empowered to do, and that is work within the context of the capitalist system. It's not geared, the political leadership is not geared toward actually in terms of, you know, remedying problems or resolving problems. It's geared toward maintaining the status quo. In that context, it cannot ever address the real issues that confront our people. Now, the whole thing is that in terms of when we talk about leadership, you know, political leadership, one of the things that we haven't been doing a very good job is legitimizing leadership in the African community. As long as we continue to allow the media to determine, define for our people who who our bona fide leadership is, then they continue to prop up, you know, your politicians, your lackeys, you know, lackeys of capitalism who are content, you know, with meager crumbs, and in return, you know, continue to, you know, create conditions that are unfavorable to their own people. So we have to understand that's a core reality. We have to do a better job in terms of, you know, educating the masses about people in terms of bona fide issues that exist out here that are actually concerned about the empowerment of our people. And it's going to take, I think, you know, the as political scientists would say, you know, informal power structure in the African community in terms of bringing about the real change that our people need. Barack Obama can't do it. He can't do it. As a matter of fact, the other day they were talking about the fact that Barack Obama was on the golf course with Tiger Woods. And, of course, what the media didn't mention, the people at the same token, that were, he was golfing with two big-time oil men out of Texas. And so the question is, do you seriously think this man is going to do anything that's going to empower the masses of people, particularly when it comes to, you know, cost of living, gasoline increases and all this kind of thing? You really think he's going to do anything to address those issues that impact the negative on the African community at the expense, you know, of what it is that he wants? First and foremost, the man wants to be loved by those in power. The issue in terms of those pressing issues pertaining to African people, whether it be racism, whether it be people, lack of job opportunity, high incarceration rate, particularly incarceration of African-American women who have been increasing leaps and bounds, this man is not going to participate in any of that. This man wouldn't even allow the country to participate in racism conference in South Africa. So that gives you some idea in terms of just how controlled these politicians are in terms of their inability to actually help, you know, to empower our people. So it ultimately is up to us, you know, to empower our own leaders and to ensure that the community recognizes who their bona fide leadership is. But it's going to take a lot of work.
Okay, to Bethel Bamboshi, and then we'll let our callers come in. I understand that the All African People Revolutionary Party, GC, is a pan-African organization, and they say they place a great emphasis on making the continent of Africa the center around the whole issue of this question of liberating the African people from a global perspective. How does that really work out as we address the issues and the problems that we are facing in America, Brother Bamboshi?
Well, our objective is Pan-Africanism. And by that we mean the total liberation and unification of Africa under an all-African socialist government. As such, we seek to organize Africans not just in Africa, but also throughout the African diaspora. And in that sense, we're building chapters of our party everywhere to struggle for Pan-Africanism, which we believe, once it's achieved, the African, no matter where he is in the world, will be in a different perspective, a better perspective, and will be able to live a life that affords him the peace and the quality of life that he deserves.
Okay, right now, let's just go to some of our callers, see what they have to say about this subject tonight, where we're dealing with this question of historical enslavement to unemployment to incarceration. We have with us caller 4360. Caller 4360. Will you please just state your name, where you're calling from, and give us your perspective on this question. Go ahead, call 4360.
Hello, or is there somebody else?
Yes, call. It's you. You're on the line.
Okay, Sabrina. I really feel that we kind of missed the boat, especially for when it comes to incarceration. 1997. We had the opportunity in this country to have the rapporteur that he was with the Human Rights Commission to come to the United States, look at the prison system, and I'm quite sure, and years after, there's been another one, and where they've looked at it, and they did a report where they saw that police brutality and such cases as Leonard Peltier, the MOVE organization, and Mumia Abu-Jamal, and that was the basis of the rapporteur, Barclay Ndiaye, came and did in his report saying that we in this country needed to have another entity outside of the Department of Justice. This report has been out there since 1997, and of course, when the as they add on to do addendums to the report, it's still existing, and we have not agitated to have something in place. So of course, we have so much as like the corporations of the industrial complex, of where it is like a big moneymaker. It's between that and between going to manufacturing wars over in other countries, particularly to, as we have the drones in Pakistan, Afghanistan, now we got drones all over in Africa. And so we kind of missed the boat on this. And, of course, now, as we look, now, if we look back since the 1996, we've had, we've had about, at this point in time, 2013, at least four generations. So our young are not seeing what they actually can see of what the movement was for people that were involved in the 1960s, 1970s, where it was, and even 1950s, I would say, even going back that far. And so they're not seeing that, and they're not seeing in large numbers of where we can almost say like the movement is decreasing, which is unfortunately with why we have the situation now that we are now. Basically, now we have 2013, a type of slavery that is in place. And so to break that cycle, we need to re-educate everyone. I mean, not just only focusing on the youth, but the people of elders and such, because they are part of the system of where it is now of inaction. I had to look yesterday. I took an opportunity to look at the film that was on the taking of Patty Hearst, and the brother that was trying to organize in there. DeFries was his slave name, but Sinke, I think, is his name. And demanding is for that, California, and this was when Reagan was governor, to come out and serve and do benefiting things for the people, the community, of bringing food and, other things as possible. And we just had, like, I think it was the last week or the weekend before, where everybody's focus was on the ex-police men that was in Los Angeles that had the so-called manifesto. Mm-hmm. And then they end the climax of it purposely right before the State of the Union by bombing and setting fire to a cabin. Well, you could see that where that happened in the 1960s when they attacked on the SLA. They did the same taxes and such like that. So we're spinning around here, and what we need to do is we see with, like, our comrade Chavez, besides his health situation, has kept his country intact, moving forward. And when they got rid of the capitalist system, Perez and such, they put in, I would say, less than a decade, you might as well say, a new type of system where they didn't focus on imperialistic. And then they re-educated the people as far as their African connections. That affects so much that as far as that when they went to the conference on racism, that for this diaspora especially, that we're supposed to be acknowledged as being Afro-descendants. So when you go to Latin America, that's pretty much you see where the people are acknowledging themselves as being that.
Okay, Carlos, let me just stop you right here. We're going to bring in another caller. The last four numbers is 3262. We'd like to hear your perspective on how do we overcome the cycle of oppression, dealing with enslavement to unemployment to incarceration. Caller 3262.
Hi, this is Fran calling you from Sacramento, California. Good evening. I was listening to the sister's comment, and when she touched on education, that is a primary factor in all of this. Your topic for the day is from enslavement to employment to incarceration and which way forward. Actually, we'll have to go backwards in order to come forward. Let me explain that. Enslavement. Now, we haven't been physically enslaved going into the second century. However, for over 500 years, we have been psychologically enslaved. Now, what you're looking at in unemployment and incarceration is symptoms of that disease, and it's a disease. It's a psychological disease, enslavement. What we have to do is undo that program. How do we do it? You have to start from scratch. You have to clean your body. You have to clean your mind. You have to go back all the way to the beginning, where you came from, and understand how things were done and what we were supposed to do. We can apply that anywhere we go, but we have got to understand it. If you understand that, employment, the symptom of employment, will disappear because you will know that you create jobs. In other words, you create your own entity. We are sent to school, and we have been for a couple of hundred years, being told that you go to school, you get a good education so you can get a good job. That's programming. We're talking about being able to create for ourselves. And once you understand who you are, what you are, and what you are capable of doing it and starting to apply it, incarceration will systematically disappear. Because do you know in most of our societies in Africa that there's not even a word for the term prison?
Okay.
That is so that's what I'm saying. You have to look in all directions for the undoing of this, and you have to start with the mind and the body.
Okay, we got about 8 to 10 minutes left. What I'd like to do for my presenters is ask each one of y'all maybe if y'all can speak to this question of what can we practically do? And I start with you, Brother Haki, to try to minimize the impact that this issue of incarceration, unemployment, enslavement, what can we do to minimize the impact that we're about to receive in the next 2 to 3 years as more and more of these policies that has been proposed by the Republican and Democrat Party begin to take place? Practically, what can that people do to try to minimize the impact? Yes, some concrete things.
Yeah, I think both the sisters are exactly right. The problem essentially is one of education. And the question is, in which we, and the brothers and sisters have been working on this since the 60s, but we still have to complete this process in terms of institutions in the community. If we don't teach, particularly our young people, in terms of educate them in terms of the reality of the situation, then we can't realistically expect them to make the analysis or to be critically understanding the system critically, to the extent that they're willing to go outside it in terms of to empower themselves. So I think what the sister is saying is essentially correct. Realistically, it's a question of education, and that is something that we've been working on since the 60s, and it's something that we have to continue to work on until it's full fruition. So I think they're absolutely correct.
Brother Van Bosch, practically, give us some practical solutions. So what can we do to minimize this hit that's about to take place to our people? What can you tell people?
I think that all the speakers have given you practical solutions. It's clear that for us, the basic question and what should be the only question is, what do we want? Do we want revolution or do we want reform? Do we want to change the system so that it acts a little better to us, or do we want to just destroy the system, get rid of it, and make a system that is for us? Our system, and I would say that the best thing for us to do is, one, become organized. Once we're organized, we can deal with the questions that are raised by all your speakers, the question of education, the question of prisons, the questions of our economic and social well-being, the question of our health. All of that can be dealt with properly and appropriately once we become organized. Our people need to be organized. We must become organized. As Brother Kwame Ture used to say, organization determines everything.
Sister Sabrina? practically?
Okay. I have to equate back to a couple of years ago. We were having something, I don't know what it was, and there was a large outcry from the black community. And one of our comrades that were from Venezuela laughed and they chuckled and they said, well, you know, until you have someone like Fidel Chavez, we are going to keep on going through what we have. And so, matter of fact, on April 3rd and 4th in Baltimore, like-minded people like myself and others are fed up where anything happens, we got a troop behind the leader, behind the NAACP and such. And people took a look at it and said, wait a minute, these are very corporately sponsored organizations. We saw with the beginning of it how it was organized, thanks to the teachings of Dr. Umar Johnson. And for those that don't know who he is, he's the nephew, great-grandnephew of Frederick Douglass, who is a doctor and who was trying to create a school for youth, particularly males, so they don't have to be in the public system of education, and where we have to include in there in some charter schools and that. Like, for example, the drugs and such that says, okay, if you supposedly have a problem with your child, you have to have them inundated with these drugs for them to participate in the public school system, when obviously it's not necessary for that. The children don't have a behavior problem. They just have an addiction problem. So, you know, we have to also re-educate parents on that, and he does a fantastic job on that. Now, the other thing, too, is that, I lost my thought here, but we got to educate of that for our particularly for parents of what they can do with their children in the school system. And if they don't find one that they can, then they need to go as far as like my comrades and with Move did, homeschooling their kids where they don't have any problems, behavior problems out of all the children, going into now almost their third generation of children. So that also needs to be taken accord. Second of all, each and every black community, since we totally got rid of the Black Panther Party and their platform, and, of course, luckily we have in Los Angeles the Black Writers, I forgot exactly, the total name of Los Angeles, but who are basically saying that, hey, we need to go back to our communities, black Latino communities, and organize and putting structures in place where they say that every person should have a home. And when it comes to eviction, they're out there to try to prevent that. And then other cases of, like, police brutality, like Oscar Grant and such like that, they, you know, were very strongly represented in the councils on that. And so people need to do that. But each and every black community must have a cop watch in place, just in case, so that what we had in the 1980s and 1990s, we had that visibility there. When the situation with the African brother that had the plunger taken to him, it was the almighty Latin kings and queens that got the notice and everything, and were at the prison and where he was at, and told the people there that we will make a noise and we will be back. And of course, what did the system do? Is try to get rid of them and put in place of where they were trying to get drugs and a bad life out of the gangs, where they were doing positive work. They tried to get rid of them and put their leaders in jail and stuff.
Okay,
like Louis.
We run out of time. We got to stop you right quick. And have each one of y'all real quick to start with Sister Fran. If y'all may know of an organization that someone can join and work with to help fight some of these problems that are affecting our people. If you can do it in 30 seconds or less, start with Sister Fran. We go with Brother Bamboshi, Haki, and then back to you, Sabrina, real quickly.
All right, this is Fran, and African Awareness Association is a really good association to start with.
Okay. And for that information, we can tell our audience they can write them at P.O. Box 4433, Richmond, Virginia, or Richmond, Virginia 23220, or call 804-549-7492. Brother Haki, any particular organization you'd like to share with the folks where they can maybe join and help fight towards resolving some of these issues as it relates to our people?
No, the only one that comes to mind is African Awareness in terms of or African People Revolutionary Party. Those are only two that come to mind.
Okay, Brother Bambushi, how can they get any kind of more information about the RFP Corruption Empire GC? I know they do have a website. Can you give the people information how to get to the website?
Click on the website. It's www.aaprp-gc.org. That's aaprp-gc.org. And I would like to encourage people to really, if they look at the All African People's Revolutionary Party, we beg them to join. But if they don't want to join the All African People's Revolutionary Party, they should at least join some progressive and revolutionary organization that is struggling for people that they can work with.
And Sister Sabrina, an organization where you can encourage our people to join to help towards eliminating some of the suffering of our people.
I agree with Bambozi that, you know, if they can't find what they need, then to create. I would suggest Cop Watch and then also Dr. Drandy Short's Facebook page where he's making a strong argument about with the drug that is forced on black women, creating a genocide and health problems and that. So people should be able to find that. And, of course, with me, with a supporter of Mumia, join the work to free the political prisoners.
Okay, on that note, we'd like to thank our guests and all our participants today on the theme dealing with this whole question of incarceration, unemployment, enslavement, which way forward. And we'd like to thank our audience for listening and feel free to catch Africa on the Move every other week at 6 o'clock on Sundays. We'd like to thank you and we'd like to remind you that remember, without information, you cannot think, and without organization, you cannot think clearly. Join an organization that is working for the liberation of your people. Until next time, we thank you.
Thank
Let's
you.
Let's move forward. We thank you.
Thank you.
Give thanks. Thank you.